Hello and welcome to episode 20 of Owl and Fowl's Norwich City Football Club We Meet Again series. This time, Fowl, we're going to be talking about Cardiff. So no messing around. Big build-ups. Those days are gone now. We're straight into it. Cardiff City. Although you guessed that, didn't you?
Well, we're running out of clubs, aren't we, now? There's not many games left, is there?
We are. So we're going to be looking back at the history between Norwich and Cardiff, discussing any big games, historic matches, any player connections. There's a few connections between our two clubs, despite the geographical distance. Yeah, we're just going to see where the conversation takes us. We're into episode 20 now, Phil. Are you beginning to suffer from a bit of fatigue, a bit of tiredness?
I mean, I agree with what Daniel Fark is saying about the games. Two games a week is a lot, isn't it? It's hard work to keep fit for two games in a row. I've been having to do my voice warm downs.
Yeah.
And rest out in between podcasts.
You haven't pulled any vocal cords?
No, I haven't. No, not that I know of. But, you know, I had a lot of physio work on it to make sure they're sort of lubricated, ready for tonight.
How's your hamstrings?
The hamstring, well, they're always rubbish. I can pull my hamstring on the way to watch a football match. So, I mean, they shouldn't affect us too much tonight, hopefully.
Are you the only person in memory who's pulled a hamstring or had an injury that's forced him out of the game as a spectator?
Yeah, it could well be, yeah. Actually, no, my mum, this is during Euro 96, where England beat Spain on penalties, which everyone forgets that game, actually. Everyone talks about how unlucky England were against Germany.
But we were lucky against Spain.
Yeah, because they totally outplayed us and we beat them on penalties.
Didn't they score a goal that looked to be onside, that was given offside?
Yeah, that's exactly it. We had a bit of help from a generous linesman again. And mum jumped up when David Seaman saved the penalty to put England through. And she came down and did her ACL in. And so she had to then go to hospital and stuff. So my mum actually has had a significant knee injury by watching football on TV. So without even being in a stadium or
that
near
takes
a
some
player.
Doing.
So yeah, it was a good one, that one. So yeah, it can happen. It's a dangerous sport. Take care. Warm up properly.
I watched all those games. So I watched the Scotland game, Spain game, and the German semi-final all in the Murderers in Norwich.
Did you?
Yes, good pub, isn't it?
It's a fantastic pub, one we have frequented ourselves.
Do you remember when we last went in it?
That was the QPR game.
No, it was one of the all-time highlight for us at
Carrow Road. Was it Man City, was it?
Yes, we popped in the Murderers after the Man City game and we met a couple of Mancunians in there.
That's right. Oh, that's right.
Looking a bit shell-shocked. But yeah, what a pub to watch the football in.
Yeah, that's a great pub. Yeah, fantastic place. And what a win that was, yeah.
I'm surprised that I survived Euro 96 watching the games in there, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, I was still at school then because I'm incredibly young. And I watched the first game against Scotland. Again, actually, we weren't great against Scotland either, were we? We kind of got the win. I watched that with my mate Alex, who is Scottish, kind of Scottish. So he wasn't best pleased. The Holland game, or the Netherlands game, I watched that on the school trip away at Howarth, is it? Do you remember that one? Biology field trip?
Okay. Yeah,
so watched that one there. I think Switzerland was the other game, wasn't it? Was that one?
Yes, and we weren't very good in that one, were we?
No, we weren't. In fact, the only game we actually played well in was the Germany one where we lost.
So this is the England, Owl and Fowl, We Meet Again episode?
Yeah.
We've ditched Cardiff, haven't we? Thought we'd talk talk about Euro 96 instead.
This is kind of like an international fixture, isn't it?
True.
Versus Cardiff.
True. I mean, should Cardiff and Swansea and Newport be allowed to play in the English league? Should they have to play in their own leagues like they do in Scotland?
I mean, I don't mind them playing in this league, or we having a combined league, so to speak, because, you know, they started off on a level playing field as everyone else has done. That's absolutely fine.
Yeah,
I think the idea that Rangers and Celtic would sort of somehow come in at sort of championship level minimum, that's not fair. I mean, they'd have to work up from the bottom.
Yeah.
Also, like, an away trip to Cardiff isn't so much of a big deal as opposed to an away trip to, like, Inverness or Aberdeen. That is a big deal. So, yeah, I'm happy with Wales being there. Scotland, they can do their own thing. I think we're all happy with that as well.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, it would be quite harsh on Cardiff and Swansea, wouldn't it? Because, obviously, there's no other teams anywhere near their level. It would be even more extreme than Rangers and Celtic in Scotland, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we're like Cardiff Rock Up was Airbus United, isn't it? They've got there, wherever it is. It's like, yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. 1927, I think. Was that the only time the FA Cups left England? Cardiff won it that year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So another team which have won the FA Cup. So not only have we not won or got to an FA Cup final, teams that aren't even in England have won it.
Yes, exactly. Did you know, going to sound like a bit of an old bore here, but in that final, I think it was BBC Radio. It was obviously before, it's on telly in those days. They introduced this little scheme or little idea where supporters could get hold of like a little cardboard cutout of the pitch, and it was basically divided into grids. And the commentator would say the grid reference. He'd say like A2, B4, whenever the ball was in that area of the pitch or Wembley. I mean, I don't quite know how he knew exactly where in the grid it was. So you could sit at home and almost like follow the action by moving your little ball around this cardboard grid.
It's kind of like football battleships, isn't it? I kind of like that idea. That's brilliant. I didn't know that. I mean, you'll be shocked to know that I don't remember football too much from the 1927. But no, that's awesome. I love that.
Do you think that could take on? It sounds like a lot of hard work for not a lot of benefit, really.
Yeah, it doesn't. But as long as it gets rid of VAR, that's fine. It sounds better than VAR does to me.
Can you imagine how infuriating it was for the poor commentator when he was told, oh, by the way, you need to quote grid references at the end of every sentence.
Yeah. Dave Matthews is going from A2 to A3, looking for a cross towards B6. So, yeah, that's not fun.
Yeah, little quirk there. What was I going to ask you? Lauren, have you successfully converted her to Norwich City Football Club yet?
Yeah, no, she has watched every single game apart from one where she was on call and had to leave halfway through. To be honest, she's actually watched more games than I have. She didn't even like football. I missed the Brentford game because I was at a band practice pre-lockdown too, and she actually did watch that one with my sister. So she has actually watched more games than I have.
Oh, wow, I wasn't expecting that answer. You know, she had to miss half a game because she was on call.
Yeah.
Did she make that up? Can you verify that that was a genuine call?
Well, I was with her. She got a call come through on her on-call phone. So it was either a very elaborate hoax to get out of it, or she actually was genuinely called out.
Okay, fellas, we're in danger of getting diverted from the seriousness of the subject matter here. There is a reason for my waffle in small talk, because I think this could be quite a short one tonight, Fal. I was looking at the record so far, and that's Derby at 26 minutes and 3 seconds. We've had a few action-packed episodes lately, haven't we? You know, Sheffield Wednesday, Forest, Redden, Blackburn, loads and loads to talk about. We always get a lot of material talking about when we last met them. And for most clubs, this would have involved two very significant games in the Championship-winning season. Cardiff, we didn't play them that year. We missed them by a season. So they got promoted the season before, so Fark's first season. So they were in the Premier League the season that we won the title. And then, of course, when we went into the Premier League last year, they were back in the Championships. They only lasted 1 year in the Premier League. It's going to test your memory a bit. Can you remember when we did last play them and what the scores were? Can you remember anything about the game at Carrow Road?
No, it wasn't Carrow Road last time we played them. We did play them in the Championship winning season, didn't we? We played them in the League Cup.
Good memory. Good spot. Yeah. I've got that down on the agenda later on.
Have I ruined it? Because wasn't that Max Aaron's debut?
It was, yes.
And he scored. Did he score as well? I didn't imagine that.
No, he did. Yeah.
Yeah. We won, didn't we? 3-2? 3-1? 3-1. And Dennis Sabrini scored?
Yes. So you're right. We did play them last year. In terms of the league, so like I say, it was in Fark's first season, so that indifferent season that we had. And they went up that season. Do you know who their manager was that took them up?
Yeah, our friend Colin.
Yes, a stalwart of the Championship, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's got a few teams up. And to be fair to him, he took a relatively average Cardiff side who hadn't done a great deal the season before and got them promoted, which, you know, you can't argue with that, can you?
That's what he does, isn't it?
He might be doing it with Middlesbrough this year.
You know what? I mean, I've always said I don't like him, but you know what? I think that's not true. I think I do like him. You want him on your side, don't you? You want him batting for you. It's just combative. You just got to love him, haven't you? Yeah. He's a real character.
Man management, isn't it?
It is. Do you remember the Carrow Road game? I remember thinking we played pretty well that day and lost. I can't remember the score. Yeah. Was it 1-0 or 2-1?
It was 2-0, actually.
2-0. Okay. I remember I thought we played pretty well. And that was at that time where I was quite encouraged by what Farke was building. And it was similar to the Fulham game that season, which I think was pretty close to that one in terms of home games.
Yeah, because Fulham got in the playoffs that year, didn't they?
Yeah. And they looked a properly good side as well. Cardiff didn't, I think they had Bamba at the back. They just didn't look much about them. There wasn't many players in that Cardiff side you'd rush to get into that Norwich side. But they just looked organised and determined and they gave 100%. And I do feel a little bit sorry for Neil Warnock because he does this every time, doesn't he? He gets an average Championship team. He gets them playing out of their skin, gets them into the Premier League, which is far beyond their ability, ends up bottom half, ends up getting sacked for it. And you're thinking, he's kind of got sacked because of his own achievements, really, hasn't he? But yeah, I remember the home game thinking that we've got something about us and we could be a good team. I didn't predict a Championship winning team, but I thought we could be a good team. Yep. But Cardiff just looked drilled, organised, determined, typical Warnock.
Yeah, it's all about the team, isn't it? I guess they had no stars really that season, but they just had the ability to grind out results, didn't they? And that was enough to get them up without catching anyone's eye, really. Went up a bit under the radar. It was wins like that one at Carrow Road, which was their bread and butter that season.
Exactly. You know,
not playing spectacularly, but doing enough, keeping tight at the back, being able to get a goal and
just
closing
the
game out.
Basics, exactly. Doing the basics really well, defending solidly. Warnock gets players running through brick walls for him. And, you know, they're good at the dark arts, aren't they? They know how to waste time.
It was only their third win in 28 visits to Norfolk. So,
yeah,
I guess it's a long old trip. So it's one that traditionally they haven't had much joy with. Now, I was going to ask you about Josh Murphy.
Yep.
And I had to Google this to make sure I got the right Murphy because he signed for them and he played during their season in the Premier League. I think he's still at Cardiff. I didn't see a great deal of the Murphys, to be honest. My understanding was that they were a bit hot and cold, and certainly I got the feeling with the fans there was quite a lot of criticism, and it seemed the fans swayed from one emotion to the other. I don't know if you can help me out here in terms of what your views were of them, why you think they did tend to split the Carrow Road fan base.
You summed it up well, really. I mean, to begin with, their career at Norwich in the first team, it kind of began under Neil Adams. Obviously, we remember them from the FA Cup youth victory at Chelsea. It was one of those things where their reputation improved by not playing. So, obviously, in that Alex Neil team in the Premier League, we had Redmond in the side. And yeah. I'm a huge Redmond fan. He was probably let down by the fact we were in a team, I wouldn't say a negative team, a team severely under the cosh a lot. And he never had much support around him. He's often isolated on the wings and he's often charging into the opposition half, having no one around him, and then picking up stick for it. So it therefore became one of those situations where I think Josh was on loan at MK Dons doing really well, that his reputation as a Norwich player improved amongst the Norwich fans by not playing for us, if that makes sense, as often is the case with football fans. Then going into the following seasons, they started playing for the first team. I think Jacob initially was the one, then became the one to watch out for. And yeah, they were inconsistent, as you'd expect with a youngster. Yeah. They got a lot of support early doors because they're effectively homegrown, and fair play, everyone loves seeing your youth players come through to the first team. They've got bags of ability. I always thought Jacob had a little bit more about him, actually, maybe a bit tougher.
Okay, I was going to ask you. Yeah. Did they play in the same position?
Yeah, roughly. The wingers, basically. I think they could play in either wing. So that worked quite nicely.
Did they ever play... Sorry, Phil. Did they ever play much together? So were they...
Yeah,
both...
you know what? I was thinking about that as you're talking about it. I mean, I must have done, but I don't really remember it, if that makes sense. The problem is with the Norwich... Their relationship with the Norwich fans, I think, was twofold. I think a lot of Norwich fans became frustrated with them because we could see what ability they've both got. They've got pace, they've got skills, they can do it all. But often they wouldn't do it at the right time. And you get moments like when we beat Aston Villa at home and Josh, I think it was Josh Murphy, just run the game that day. He was superb. He scored an absolute blinder. He created another goal. He was up and down the wing just brilliantly. That's what you can do, you know. And the next week, they wouldn't be anywhere up to that level. Also, I would say that's the life of an attacking player, isn't it? Like, when you're a tricky winger, sometimes it comes off for you, sometimes it doesn't. And I think that also kind of combined with a few of the Norwich fans were maybe a little bit spoiled, used to Premier League glory days. We hadn't long come down from the Premier League, expected us to be walking the league, and actually, obviously we weren't, you know, the history.
There's even more expectation and pressure on homegrown players. It's a double-edged sword, and we saw it with Todd Cantwell, didn't we, that they seem to get most of the praise, but they also seem to get most of the criticism.
Exactly. I think the Murphy boys were victims of frustration, maybe a bit, little bit of a sport fan base, and probably got some unfair criticism, actually. I thought they were decent, and they love playing for Norwich. And yeah, they got singled out a lot actually at times, and a lot of times I thought it was really harsh. I think the young lads, they're not going to get it right every time. We should have been support. In my opinion, as fans, we probably could have done a little bit more to support them.
Of course. And we got $11 million for Josh when he went to Cardiff. So, yeah, again, a great return, really, from a lad that came through the academy setup. It was very much overshadowed by Maddison's move, wasn't it? I think it happened pretty much around the same time.
That's exactly it.
It fell under the radar a bit, didn't it? But, you know, 11 million.
And also we got good money for Jacob as well, didn't we? But yeah, Josh was, I think it was a similar time to Maddison, and that obviously went to Cardiff. And I personally felt at the time he probably wasn't quite good enough for the Premier League.
Yeah.
And it probably is reflected in the fact that it's dropped down with Cardiff. You know what? I'd love to see Josh and Jacob do well. I've got nothing but, you know, fond memories of them. They could be great players, and I really hope they do well.
Josh might do well when we play Cardiff. Always ominous, isn't it?
There's especially with strikers, I know he's not a striker, but there's always a thing with strikers, they always score against their old clubs, don't they?
You mentioned correctly the last time we played them was actually in the League Cup or the Carabao Cup, 28th of August 2018. Quite a low-key evening, as you'd expect. There was just under 7,000 fans in the Cardiff City Stadium. They were obviously in the Premier League. The game before that, or the Saturday before that, we'd lost that home game to Leeds. Now, I've made a note here that was the night the FARC revolution began. Now, you could argue it began the season before, but that was the night almost by, it seems quite harsh to say by luck, because I don't believe it's by luck, but it was the night that, you're right, Aarons, Godfrey and Cantwell all played.
Yeah.
Everything seemed to click. I think we played really well. You know, Cardiff obviously rested a few players. For example, I don't think Josh Murphy played. But we never really looked back after that win. And certainly Max Aarons never looked back.
I agree. I think you're absolutely right. I think it was also, I don't think it was just Max Aarons. I think it, and of Godfrey Cantwell.
Yeah.
Also, I thought it was the first time I'd really seen Stiepermann probably playing his proper position.
Yeah.
Because the previous season, he'd filled in at left back, hadn't he, for most of the season. And again, didn't look that great, did he? He kind of did a job for us in the same way Sorensen is. What I think, to be fair to Sorensen's actually probably doing a little bit better job than Stiepermann. Not that Stiepermann was bad at left back, but he just isn't a fullback, is he? That night, obviously, you saw Stiepermann. I think Stiepermann was on a score sheet as well, wasn't he, that night? I can't remember. I know that definitely Sobreny and Aarons were.
Yeah, Sobreny got a double. So Stiepermann was.
Oh, okay.
But I think Stiepermann had a few assists that night. I remember he did come of age in that game.
Yeah. And so that's it. So I thought, obviously, we had Aarons, Godfrey, Cantwell, as you said, like all, and probably proved to the manager, we are ready for this. We are ready to be first team players. And also, Stiepermann kind of planted his flag in that kind of, that not number 10, sort of slightly, well, attacking midfield, number 10 kind of role, didn't he? And said, you know what, I can do this level as well. I think you're right. I would pinpoint that. And I think it was Ipswich next, wasn't it, away?
It was.
I'd pinpoint those two games as when the revolution properly started.
Yeah. And I guess because Aarons was thrown into that game at Portman Road, wasn't he? And I guess that was on the back of what he did that night in Cardiff that convinced Daniel Farke that he could handle it and was good enough. Does that point to the value of using the cup to blood youngsters? I know it gets a lot of criticism, doesn't it? Weakened sides, you hear teams aren't taking it seriously. But in a way, isn't that evident of how to use these League Cup games? In that it gave us an opportunity to give these youngsters a go, and look what happened. They all kicked on and life's changed for all of them. Now, you could argue that in the old days when you played the same 11 in the Cup and the League, we would have played our strongest side. Maybe we would have got a defeat because Cardiff would have played their strongest side, and, you know, history could have looked very different.
This is it, and I think that's the thing. I think it benefits the team. My thinking, although I don't quite know how it'd work in reality, but my thinking with the League Cup is always I'd like it to be a squad-based system, which I know it is anyway, but say when you get Man City and that sort of thing, they play the majority of their youth team, when they get to the semi-finals, they can't start chucking in first-teamers, as you know, you've got to kind of stick to that. But I think it works for that. It's more than a friendly, isn't it? It's not quite a competitive game, and it is a competitive game, I know that, but not so tragic if you lose it. But it is more than a friendly, and that's good. I think that's necessary for youngsters to get involved, particularly when, if we were a Premier League side, because obviously in the Premier League, every single point is so precious and valuable. I think managers are a little bit more scared of letting youngsters into the team, aren't they? It almost feels like a rarer occasion. So I think it's very important, actually. I think the League Cup works quite well from that point of view to get youngsters involved.
Yeah, no, I agree. I was going to talk about Cardiff, and I think we touched on this on one of the previous episodes. So obviously, and I think you mentioned it, that a few years ago they went down this large rebranding exercise. So they went from traditional blue to red. They got a new badge, probably got a new nickname. And obviously there was a disillusion, disconnection between the fans and the club.
Yeah.
Now, it's funny really, isn't it, how something as small as a badge or the colour of a kit can be so important to a club, isn't it?
Well, it is, but it's your identity, isn't it? I mean, the thing is as well with club colours is that the away shirt's always a free swing, isn't it, basically?
Yeah.
You can kind of do whatever you like with the away shirt. So I just don't like Norwich City are the Canaries, are yellow and green. As long as we've been at Carrow Road, as long as we've been basically league side, whatever, we played in yellow and green. It's our identity. It's what the stadium colours are.
Are there any tweaks you would make? Would you rename Carrow Road something like The Nest, for example?
No, I wouldn't. But it will happen though, one day, won't it? There will be a case at some point, there will be a rebranding exercise. And that's what will happen when new investment one day comes into the side. That's the way it's going, isn't it? Unfortunately.
Would you get a new song?
No.
Retire on the Ball City, shall we?
No, what a classic that is. We should remix it. Yeah. Get the darkness
You're the man to do it, aren't you?
Well, yeah, we could do, yeah. No, I don't, that's not going to happen, is it? That's going to stay. But, you know, there is things like that. And if I was a Cardiff fan, I'd have been gutted about it. Especially like the away shirt, do what you want of it. Make that red.
So if we changed our home kit to a different colour, that would have quite a big impact on you, would it?
I think it would all us fans, wouldn't it? You wouldn't like it either, would you?
No, I don't think so. It's hard to know until it happens. It's only in sport, really, because someone who didn't understand sport would say, well, it's a colour off a top. Why does it make any difference? Lauren would say that, wouldn't she?
Well, she would, but that's because, you know, Norwich City is probably older than Australia, isn't it? So, like, she hasn't got that deep root. No, I don't mean that, but it's true. And the thing is with sport is it's like romance, isn't it? It doesn't make logical sense, does it? There's no point in football from the point of view that whatever happens this season, if we go as champions next year, we might get relegated from the Premier League and have a terrible season like last year. And so this year will be joyous. Next year it'll be tragic. But then it starts over again. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, does it? But that's the point. It does matter. It does matter to all of us. And, you know, it's something, it's tradition. It's what we love doing. It's what we spend our pastime doing. And that's precious. And it's got to stay.
And Australia have their baggy green hats anyway, don't they, in cricket?
This is it. And they wouldn't want to change that, would they?
No, exactly. So,
and rightfully so. Rightfully so.
I think we're both agreed. Yeah, let's leave Norwich green and yellow.
Mm-hmm.
Let's leave us playing at Carrow Road, and let's keep the Canaries as the nickname.
Absolutely.
I'm going to very briefly mention this. We're not going to go into any depths, but the 1959 Cup run that appears in episode after episode after episode. Cardiff, we played them in the fourth round. This was again after we'd beaten Man United and Spurs. So Cardiff going fell under the radar a bit. But they were a higher division than us at the time, so the 3-2 win that we got represented a big result. So I just thought I'd mention that. They were one of the teams we played on the cup run. And then another game I was going to bring to your attention, Phil, one probably wouldn't have been there, but I'm sure you would remember. And I've called it the Darren Huckabee Show. Darren Huckabee, obviously, he initially came to Norwich on loan, and I think it was three months. We lost just twice in his 18 loan games. So it kind of shows what an impact he made. Within those 3 months, he picked up a Player of the Month award as well. Clearly above championship level. Now, his last game of that loan spell was at home to Cardiff on the 13th December 2003.
Okay.
And it could have been a goodbye and thank you. So this would have been well before you were going to Carrow Road, wouldn't it?
It was before I was a season ticket holder. I was just going casually then.
Yeah, I doubt you would have got a casual ticket for this one. Well, he put on an absolute show, as you can imagine. He had everything. He had his pace, his trickery, his skill. He scored a classic Huckabee goal. He put two on a plate, probably for Ewan. I'm not sure what the emotions were that day, whether Norwich fans were a bit upset because they knew what potentially they were going to be missing because he was due to return back to Man City, or whether they were just grateful for another 3 points that kept us going. I think it was a performance that convinced Delia and the board to go for broke, really, and bring him in. And we talked about Huckabee, I think, in the Coventry one, didn't we, about his legacy and what he did at Norwich.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember him signing for Norwich because that was when we played at home against Forest, I think. He was announced, but didn't play that day. It was just as around Christmas time.
Yeah.
It's funny, isn't it? Those short-term loan deals don't seem to be much of a thing anymore, do they? Like, not in the first half of the season anyway. I remember it used to be quite common back then, but now it seems to be a season-long loan or nothing, doesn't it?
Yeah, you can understand that, can't you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it makes sense. It makes sense for everyone. I do remember kind of the fallout around it because it was a case that Huckabee really wanted to move, wasn't it? And I think the agent kind of saw a few pound signs in it. And didn't Huckabee in the end ditch his agent and just said, look, you know what, I want this move. I'll go and negotiate it myself. And
something like that, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't specifically remember the game, but obviously you've got to say, I mean, Huckabee is brilliant for us throughout his career. But probably that first season, and probably the Premier League season as well at times, that was probably peak Huckabee, wasn't it? He was absolutely unplayable. Him and Peter Crouch as well, wasn't it, on those first few those 3 months?
Yeah, Crouchy, our fellow podcaster.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. wonder if we've got a mention on his yet.
Yeah, well, we can live in hope, can't we?
Yeah.
So, yeah, obviously that game against Cardiff, I think we won 4-1 in the end, and you can imagine it. It was just, we couldn't afford to let him go after that. And then I was going to mention quickly 2010-11, so Lambert's promotional season. And obviously it was between us and Cardiff, wasn't it, for that final promotion spot.
It was.
Cardiff won the head-to-heads that season, so they beat us 3-1. And then we got a 1-1 draw thanks to a late Russell Martin equaliser. And I think that might have been round about Christmas, New Year time. Yep. You would have had your season ticket then, wouldn't you? So do you remember going to that one?
That was season two. So it was at home, the 1-1, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think, Russell Martin got a late equaliser. I think they had that big lad up front, John Parkin.
That's right. Oh, I do remember that game as well. He scored an absolute blinder, didn't he? Early doors in the game. Johnny Parkin, I do remember that because he was a big lad, wasn't he?
He was,
I mean, don't get me wrong, but he scored that. It was a first half volley and it was absolutely brilliant. He just leathered it. And it was, again, it was one of the few times I've actually applauded at Carrow Road an opposition goal. There was that one, the Forestieri one was another one. And that was an absolute belter. Also, later on that game, I do remember him, is when we had like the little triangle advertising boards on the side of the pitch. I think we still got them actually. I can't really remember. In front of the City stand. He kind of went out and fell over one and totally wiped it out to everyone's joy, obviously. But he was a very good, solid championship striker, he was. And I do remember we played pretty well that game and we deserved to win that game, really. And it was one of those last-minute Russell Martin when the Norfolk Cafe was in full flow. Promotion chase. I can't think he was their manager. I remember it because he has face. Davy Jones, was it? I can't remember.
Yeah, I'm not sure, actually. I mean, they pushed us all the way. They had that collapse at Middlesbrough, didn't you? Did you remember? I remember watching that on telly. Quite a routine home game for them. And I think Leroy Lita scored for Middlesbrough that day, an old Norwich loanee. Yep. In the days where our team was full of loanees.
Yeah, I remember it well. That was Bank Holiday Monday, wasn't it? So we'd previously won. The last home game we had was against Derby, wasn't it? That was a 3-2, which kept us in second place. Basically, Cardiff, if they'd won that game, would move above us. But they lost, didn't they? And
they did,
that meant if we won away at Portsmouth, which we duly did, we were up. And that's exactly what happened.
I think it was one of those classic scenarios where we were due to play Portsmouth in the evening and that was an afternoon game. And Lambert was trying to keep the players unaware of what was going on. But
Yeah.
Probably.
You've got no chance, have you?
No, I think you'd soon get an idea once you got to Portsmouth that something had changed.
And stuff would just tell you what's happening, wouldn't they? What a day.
Yes. Now, we've only played them once in the top flight. It's a bit like Redden, actually. We were talking about it in the last episode. They drew at Carrow Road, I believe, 0-0. And again, that's we talked about games you have to win if you want to stay up. And that was obviously one of them. And then they beat us 2-1 in Cardiff with a certain Craig Bellamy on the score sheet. So obviously he was coming to the end of his career. And to be fair to him, he wanted to spend it at his hometown club. Yeah, had a late flurry in the Premier League with them. And we're not going to talk much about Bellamy. So we covered him quite a lot in the Coventry episode. But obviously very popular player at Carrow Road.
Terrific.
Always will be. Bellamy, South Wales, born and bred, but ended up from a very young age in the Norwich Academy. And there's actually been a few of them over the course of time. A few names here, Phil. Let me know if you recognise any of them. So these are all young Welsh players that were scouted and signed and developed in Norfolk. So it's quite a strange link. And we talked about this with Bournemouth, actually. That's another one where we seem to have quite a good concentrated scouting network in South Wales and managed to get these lads up to Norfolk from a young age. Four of them are Hall of Famers. They're all going back into the dim and distant past. So we had Dennis Morgan, Noel Kinsey, Donald Pickwick, and the last one, Ollie Burton.
Ollie Burton, oh, I do know him. He's my mate, BFF.
Isn't he? So, Ollie was born in Chepstow in South Wales, just over the bridge from me in Bristol. Played for Newport, so grew up in South Wales, made his break for Newport County before we signed him. And then, like they say, the rest is history, and he ended up finally meeting you in a coffee shop in Helston.
Which is probably the pinnacle of his career. I think it's the bit he remembers most.
The beginning of that journey. One other player connection I was going to mention, and we did touch on this striker, probably in the Derby podcast, but Robbie Earnshaw, obviously a massive player for Cardiff. I don't know where he ranks in their all-time listing for top goal scorers, but I'd imagine he's pretty high. Really popular player for them. And the same for us, really. He was right player at the wrong time, I'd say. If he'd joined in any other era, could have been another legend, couldn't he?
Yeah, he had all the makings of a Hall of Famer for us, didn't he, in terms of his ability. So I can't actually remember when Earnshaw joined us. I know it was under Worthington, but was it during the Premier League season or at the end of it?
He came in to replace Dean Ashton. So Ashton went in January the year after we were relegated. So he did start out the season in the Championship.
Yeah.
He got his big money move to West Ham and Earnshaw came in as his direct replacement and never let anyone down, did he?
I remember the game Worthington got relieved of his duty. We were at home against, I want to say Bristol, but I can't remember now if it was. And I remember we were particularly poor that day. You know when it's like when you do get to the end of a managerial reign? For whatever reason, whatever the rights and wrongs of it are.
Ego foul, it was Burnley.
Burnley, yeah. My favourite. Love Burnley. Anyway, towards the end of his career, a managerial career, you just get a vibe around the team and the stadium that just needed a change. And I think I remember like Earnshaw was the one player just did not let himself down. He was still running his socks off.
Yep.
And he was a genuinely very good striker, particularly at Championship level.
Despite injury, and he did have injuries with us, his record, I looked it up, he scored 27 in 45.
Yeah, I mean, that's brilliant, isn't it?
That is in a struggling side, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that is, like I say, that's Hall of Famer stats level, isn't it? Not in terms of long or time, but, you know, that is the sort of ratios you get to be, you know, top of the tree at Carrow Road.
It's probably not far off Pookie's stats, is it? I know you're not comparing like for like.
Well, I mean, if you take it in terms of ratios, you take the Premier League season to account, that's better, isn't it? And say that Earnshaw's up there with him, totally.
And I saw one of his 27 goals in my only trip to Cardiff, and it was in their old Ninian Park Stadium.
Wow.
I went with a good friend of mine, Mr. Oakes, who lives in Cardiff.
So
Mr. Oakes. So me and him went to the game. And Robbie Earnshaw, I'm sure it was one of those end-of-season games where we were both mid-table. So it was almost, the game was irrelevant.
Yeah.
You know, there was nothing riding on the result. To be fair, Cardiff fans gave Earnshaw a good welcome back. Not quite so sure if they would have if it had been something riding on the game. He got a hearty round of applause when he put one in the top corner, and we won 1-0. So I did have the privilege of seeing Robbie Earnshaw score for us in his hometown club. Final thoughts, Val? I haven't really got any.
No, I have not either. You've got a... Yeah, it's funny because I did notice Cardiff coming into the podcast.
So you've done your research then?
Yeah. I can't think of too much to say about Cardiff either, really. I can't really remember any stunningly exciting games or mega important games.
What are you going to go for? Always a tough going, Cardiff, isn't it? And it's going to be this time round. I mean, I've noticed I always put you on the spot. Let you do your prediction first, and I come in at the end. So I'm going to go first this time round.
I'll put you into bat first, all right?
Yeah, exactly. See if I can handle the pressure. They had a decent start. Start to the season. We're nearly halfway through the season, aren't we? This is going to be a tough one. I'm going to go 1-1.
Well, so I'm thinking we're going to have a few players back. We've come through, obviously, this is the night after the Forest game. We've coming through a very difficult period of injuries.
Yeah, that bench was Hartman, wasn't it?
It was, actually. Although I thought Campbell came on and McLean did very well, but didn't look fit. But actually, all of a sudden, we've got players back on the bench I recognise, sort of genuine senior players. So I'm thinking that by the time we get to Cardiff, a couple of weeks' time from now, have a couple more. I'm going to go 2-1. I think we're going to do it. I think we're going to extend our lead at the top of the league.
Excellent. Well done. Well, thank you very much, as always, Fal. We'll definitely be doing a couple more before Christmas. So we don't have to pass our best wishes on quite yet. I'll be seeing you before the big day to you before the big day. And thanks a lot, mate. And I'll see you soon. Goodbye.
Thank you very much. Goodbye.